Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for that tremendous message we have already heard. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God, we pray that what happens here today may convince us that this is a message for those of us who really know you, who really trust you, to share with our society. Forgive us, God, where we have let 1 week go by, 1 year go by after another, and we have never looked into the eye of a hungering soul and said to them, Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants you to be a part of his kingdom. That's our sin, and we bear the fruits of it today as we look into our world, that we have not told the story. So we pray that you will forgive us our guilt, but that you will also strengthen us to understand that this is our message and our mission in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends in Christ, during the last few days, I have had two meetings, and I'd like to share just a little bit from each one of them with you. The first was a luncheon meeting. It was held at the university, and I sat in the beautiful dining room there at a table where an economist was present. So in order to get the conversation going, I said to him, would you give me your viewpoint of the future for the state of Iowa during the next 25, 50 years? He hesitated a little bit, and then he began to say these words. There are certain parts of the state of Iowa that will experience a limited growth, as I see it, during the next few years. We happen to be in one of those areas. That was heartwarming. But he said, Iowa per se, and a small part, will continue to decline. Communities will lose their schools, churches, and other institutions. And it could very well be that rural Iowa will become something like rural North Dakota or South Dakota. Now, this is an economist speaking. I wished I hadn't asked him the question. So then I said to him, well, is there anything that can be done to reverse this, to turn it around? Do we have simply to lie down and play dead? He said, I don't know what can be done. I don't know. He said, I guess that we'd have to say to be positive that we ought to build on our strengths. And there are some good strengths here in Iowa. We have a good workforce. We have a good work ethic in comparison with other parts of the nation. We have a good way of life. It's a bit slower than it is in New York and Chicago and St. Louis, and some people like that. We have a good water supply. And he went on to bring out all the positives. So he said, if we're going to do anything, and if there's any way that we can turn it around, it is to think positively on those good things that we have going for us. Well, our food came, and we began to talk about lighter things than that. The other meeting I was at was with a group of ministers. And the question that was being debated, and one had done a great deal of research on this, what is the future for the church? For the church in the state of Iowa in the years to come? The answer was pretty much the same. Rural America is decreasing, the people simply are not here, and it's going to be a very, very difficult time for the church. And we were thinking primarily of mainline Protestantism. The rural church is going to decline, decrease in membership. The results are that some of them will close, and actually there will be mergers, not just mergers between two Lutheran churches, but can you imagine it? A Methodist and a Lutheran church getting together? Our forefathers would just roll, spin around on the ground. That could never happen. No, it's going to happen. And he went on to say that there is nothing really that we can do because there aren't enough people there. They're gone. I experienced a little bit of that. Last fall, I spent 2 days at Rolph, Iowa. It's a beautiful little community. They had built a church there not too many years ago. My predecessor, Pastor Irving Tangy, had been the pastor there. It's a beautiful church. And it was a day when that was comfortably full. They had their own resident pastor today. There are less than 100 people in that church. And they do not have their own resident pastor. They share. This is what the gentleman who was leading this little study was telling us. But he went on to say there are areas that are going to continue to grow. And this area is one of them. And there's a lot to be done because even out in the rural areas, there are many people who do not know the Lord. Again, I am told that there are 60,000 people in this area. Not 6,000, 60,000 people in this area who do not belong to any church. That in itself is astounding. And then if we want to be realistic, there are many, hundreds, thousands of people who have their names on the books of a church, but do not know the Lord Jesus in any way, shape, or form. We have 4,400 of these people, and I'm not judging. That's up to God. But as I get into a real pastoral conversation again and again with them and talk with them about their relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's what a pastor has got to talk about, and not what is your relationship with brick and mortar or an organization known as Nazareth Church. What is your relationship with God? They tell me again and again, I don't have it, Pastor. That's deflating to the ego after you've preached and preached and preached and preached some more. But it is good that they are honest enough to say, I really don't have it. Now, if you ask the question, what can be done? Our answer is entirely different from that of the economist. And that's why I draw the contrast here. And we'll come back to it once more in the sermon. The economist says, I don't know if anything can be done. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I stand before you this morning to say, I know beyond all doubt, no question whatsoever, that tremendous things can be done, and the church of Jesus Christ can become more vibrant in this 21st century that's before us, and even in the remaining years of the 20th century, than it has ever been before. We can have, I love these terms, we can have a revival in the church. Don't like that as Lutherans? All right, we can have a spiritual awakening. Like that better? A little bit more liturgical? We can come alive, friend. We can come alive in Jesus Christ. There is no question about it because of the miraculous power of God. And humanly speaking, It is left in our hands. When I say our, those of us who know Jesus Christ in a personal way. It is in our hands. And that's the challenge I bring to you this morning. Some of us who probably need to hear carefully, and I include the pulpit in what Peter experienced. The answer for that is in our text. I can't say those words that I just said if I don't have a biblical base for it. This is a grand old story, and I learned it in Sunday school, and you did too, about when Jesus came to Galilee, and they had the greatest fishing experience they'd ever had there. Galilee, 15, 16 miles long, 8 miles wide. Six or seven great communities with about 15,000 people in each one of them. Jesus loved to be there. And on this particular day, as he was there in Galilee, he began to talk to the people, and they gathered around him. And finally, in order that he might be freed up just a little bit, he got into one of the boats of Peter's that was there on the shore. And he sat down. Can't you see me? Sitting down and just dialoguing. He probably wasn't getting too excited. He was just dialoguing with them and telling them about the things of the kingdom of God. And when he got all done, he shouted out to Peter, "Peter, thanks for letting me use your boat. Now you get your nets and you go out into the deep. Let down your nets and you will get a great catch of fish." Now you have to remember that Peter was a crusty old fisherman. He was not nearly as dignified as Luke probably would make him out to be. And what was going on in his thinking is revealed to some extent in what he has to say. This is what he was thinking. This Jesus may know a lot about people. He certainly is a great preacher, and I've seen him perform a miracle or two, but he doesn't know sic'em about fishing. He doesn't know anything about fishing. And so he said to them, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. That means that the fish are not in this area right now. And besides that, if you really want to catch some fish, you don't go out into the deep. They're not out there." But then he says these words, "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Just because you say so, there is no rhyme nor reason to it. And so he went out and they caught these fish, and the nets were so full that he had to call over to James and John, "Come over here and help." And when they got all those fish in and saw the miracle that had happened, that was not natural, that was a miracle. Peter bent down before the Lord and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And Peter and Jesus, with a smile on his face, I'm sure from ear to ear, said, "Peter, there's something far more exciting for you than to catch a fish. The day is going to come when you will be catching people." And it wasn't many months after that that little man, that fisherman, stood in the city of Jerusalem and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ on Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Spirit used his words, and 3,000 people were converted just like that. And the church of Jesus Christ was on her way. That's a miracle. Miracles. We can expect miracles, friend. Probably not the kind of miracles that we would like to have all the time. There are others that we'd like to have, but we can expect miracles. The miracle of Shishila, who stood before us this morning. What turns a life around like that? The Holy Spirit. The miracle of Lloyd, being able to sit here with his family this morning. I don't understand it. I don't imagine he does. But this is a miraculous power of God. And that's why I hurry on to say, if the picture for Iowa is bleak in the 21st century, the picture for the Church of Jesus Christ in Iowa is not bleak. Because we have miraculous power promised to us from Almighty God to turn the lives of people around. And all that it takes is obedience. Obedience to what the Lord has asked us, his church, to do. And it isn't very difficult. In fact, it's very, very simple. Do we want the church to be vibrant? Do we want the church to be really active? Do we want this to be an exciting place, and I'm using our congregation as just a little part of this whole church? Why is it that some churches are so dead? They haven't had a conversion probably in months, years. What is it that's supposed to excite us? One program after another? Sure, it does some. I imagine when we dedicate the new building, it will be excited for a few hours. They'll pass away. What is it that excites us? What is really exciting is when a life is turned around. It's changed. It's saved. Do we want to save people in this community? Do we want to save them from boredom, from immorality, from addiction, from self-centeredness, from sin? Do we want them to live the abundant life, or don't we care what happens to our neighbor? Do we want them to have the assurance of eternal life when that last breath is breathed, that they are home with the Lord? Is that what we want? Then, my friend, what the text tells me, at least as I read it today and as I've studied it in the light of some of the best commentators that we have, we can have it. How do we do it? Jesus gave us the words. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching them. Lo, I'm going to be with you always. Go out and share your faith. You are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that is in Cedar Falls, Waterloo, in Judea, the state of Iowa, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Just go and share it. Just share. Don't go up and down the streets necessarily and become very uncomfortable with it. That good friend of yours who doesn't know the Savior, tell him about Jesus. Friend, I'm not just saying it to fill up the time. This is what God is saying to you. You say it will not work. I've heard bishops say that. Not our bishop, but I've had bishops say that. That kind of evangelism doesn't work today. Pray tell me what does. I've had lay people from our congregation, real angered, say to me, get off that particular cry. You can't go around and talk to people in a personal way about Jesus. That's not for our day. We're too educated. We have convinced ourselves of that. And we live one week after another. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus and don't say anything to anybody about Christ. And we are so active in the church that we're so tired that we can hardly do any more. I can only say to you, if your church is making you that tired, scrap it. But don't scratch going out and telling somebody about Jesus. The great Lewis Evans, who now is with the Lord, at one time was the pastor of the Hollywood Presbyterian Church where Lloyd Ogilvie is now. What a church. And a man had been converted under Dr. Evans' preaching. So he came into Louis Evans' office on a Monday morning after he had confessed his faith and became a believer in Christ Jesus. And he said to him, Dr. Evans, I am really sincere about my relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now I want this church to give me something to do. I imagine he thought probably he could be on a church council. That he might sing in a choir, teach a Sunday school, be the chair of some blessed committee. They're all very important. I'm not belittling any of them. But notice what Lewis Evans said. He turned to this man who was an engineer on a train. And he said to him, is your fireman a Christian? No. In the name of Jesus Christ and the Hollywood Presbyterian Church, your mission is to win him for the Lord. That's it. That's it. We don't have to keep coming down here for all these kind of meetings that we have. They are
far insignificant to just sitting down and talking to somebody at the coffee break about Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, friend. That's how far away we have gotten from how we actually go out there and do what the Lord wants us to do. We are so convinced that it isn't going to work. Peter was convinced of it. We forget the miraculous power of God. Let me tell you how it does not work. It does not work by just talking about it. During these years that I have been a privilege to be in the ministry of the Lutheran Church, and I love my church, again and again I have heard, this is going to be the year of evangelism. 1995 is going to be the year of evangelism. So we got to get ready for all of this. And we have brought people in from California to Alaska and Florida and all the rest of places to the hierarchy's headquarters in Chicago. And now we're going to make plans, and we're all going to go out and do something. And we're going to get this cluster over here and that cluster over there, and we get a few people coming from a congregation. And now you're going back in the congregation, and you're going to have a great evangelism program. We're going to give you some freedom. You do whatever you want to do. But reach out with a message to the church. Reach out. Our daughter, our oldest daughter, who lives in Wisconsin, was a part of that. She got on the evangelism team. You know what that project was in evangelism in that church? She understood it was a joke. She hadn't lived with me that long. But what she knew that. She knew it was a joke. They had to get a new pictorial directory of the congregation. That would be evangelism, so that everybody could look and get acquainted with one another and would be just a little bit closer to one another. Wouldn't that be nice? Never once did anybody go out and tell anybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're far away. The Church of Jesus Christ is dependent upon us because God has appointed us to tell the story. Will the Church of Jesus Christ die? If we will be obedient to Christ's command, it will grow. And I think not just of a numbers game, but of people coming to know Christ. Friend, if we don't, now this is as serious as it is, the church will die in our part of the world. And those of you who know your Bible say, oh no, it won't. Because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church, and that's right. But he didn't give that promise to an area of the country that does not want to get out there and take this thing seriously and tell others about Christ. A friend of mine, a few months ago, came back from Ephesus. That's where Paul had one of his strong congregations. And when we were talking together, I said to him, how is the church in Ephesus? He looked at me and said, there is no church in Ephesus. It's all Muslim. How did it happen? Read John's revelation. What does he say when he talks to the people at the church of Ephesus? You have left your first love. Who is their first love? Christ. You've left Christ. You've done all kinds of things at Ephesus. And the church shut down. And the Muslims have come in there. And they live in darkness under that heathen religion. I say heathen religion. You may ask, why did you start with the viewpoint of the economist? Let me tell you. As we sat there, he said, if you were going to put an industry someplace in this United States, what would attract you in coming to Cedar Falls, Waterloo? You don't have a mountain. You don't even have a lake. You don't have an ocean. You have horrible climate. Now this is what the economist is saying. What would attract you? You know, I just wish that I'd been further along with this sermon, or I would have preached him one for a long time. Here's the dream, friend. Here's the dream. Here's the miracle. We can have a community that has Jesus Christ at the center of it. At the center of it. What kind of a community is that? That's a community where you have joy and peace and values. And people have some understanding of what's important in life. And we have ethics and we have morals and we have strong family relationships and we have great schools. Wouldn't you like to put an industry there? Wouldn't you be willing to let go of a mountain in Boise or wherever else it might be? If you could have a place like that to put your factory and know that these people really are outstanding individuals made that way. Now, I know that's not why we evangelize, to build a population. That's not the point of my sermon. The point of evangelizing is to bring people into a relationship with God. But it wouldn't be too bad a byproduct, would it? Wouldn't it be pretty good to just say, boy, this is where we want to be. An honest day's pay for an honest day's work. We can have it, friend. We can have it. I don't know what the state of Iowa is going to do in the next few years, but on the basis of God's word, I know what the Church of Jesus Christ can do. And if we want to be faithful to our Lord, there is no end to what can happen to the church in this part of the world. I don't like to leave it on a negative note, but I don't know how else to say it. Keep going the way we're going, and mainline Protestantism will die. That's the history. That's the way it is. But don't take that home first. Take this home. That for some strange reason, while the Holy Spirit does the work, He has chosen you, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, I mean committed to Him, know Him, He has chosen you to share that faith, that there may be spiritual awakening in good old Northeast Iowa. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged, started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.